Good morning. Welcome to Fountain of Life Healing School. My name is Donna Crow, and this is part two of Divine Healing Made Simple with Praying Medic. We had him for an hour last week, and it was really wonderful, and I enjoyed it. we got good feedback, but I enjoyed it myself. I had a blast. I love hanging around with people who love God, love just being in the presence of God. I love truth. I love that we can know the truth and we can be free, that we can grow in the knowledge of God and we can get freer as we do. You know, Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. So in my own life, any place where I feel like I'm not free, then I logically conclude I don't know the truth. And since the Holy Spirit's here to guide us into all truth, I just immediately go, okay, Holy Spirit, what's the truth here? What am I missing it? Show me the truth because I want to be free in this. And I encourage you to do that with healing. You know, get with the Lord and go and admit, you don't know how to walk in the Spirit. You don't know how to flow in the Spirit. This is all new stuff, you know. None of us is born knowing this stuff. You got to learn it. And the Holy Spirit wants to teach you. He does. God doesn't expect you to know everything about the kingdom as soon as you get born again. You can grow, and the more you include the Holy Spirit in it, the more you learn. And the more you invite the Holy Spirit, the more you learn. And so anyway, I had a blast last week. I learned stuff. I got energized and re-inspired. And I love Praying Medic, not in a weird, creepy stalker kind of way, but just I love what he knows. I love his heart. I love what he's learned, and I love that he has a heart to share it, that it seems to me that his desire to know how to heal is equal with his desire to help others to know how to do this. It's not that he's, you know, focusing on himself, and so we're glad you're here. We're going to start with just a little bit of scripture. I'm going to just talk about something that is on my heart because we are going to pray with people, and I want this concept to get out there. So this is in Luke 5, and for those who actually have your Bible with you, I'm going to look. It's Luke 5, starting with verse 17. One day Jesus was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. And some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in and set him down in front of him. But not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof, let him down through the tiles with his stretcher into the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. I just love that picture right there, first of all. These guys are going, we're not giving up, you know. They were aggressive. They're going, he's the healer. Our friend's sick. Let's hook these people up, you know. I just really love that. Anyway, seeing their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven you. The scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this guy who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus, aware of their reasonings, answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins have been forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? I mean, if you look at that, get up and walk is four words, it's four syllables. You know, your sins have been forgiven you is like six words and eight syllables. So obviously it's easier to say, get up and walk. So Jesus is making a point here, your sins are forgiven. And then he goes on to say, but so that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, Jesus said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home. And immediately he got up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. And all were struck with astonishment and began glorifying God, and they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen remarkable things today. Well, you know, when I used to read this, I completely missed one of the major points here. I mean, it appears that the major point here is that Jesus could forgive sins. But one of the major points that I saw is that when Jesus says your sins are forgiven, you have a legal right to be healed. Because your sins are forgiven, healing belongs to you. When Jesus bore your sin on the cross, he bore your pain and your sickness also. They can't be separated. It's only sin that allows sickness to come on us. And that doesn't mean the reason you're sick is because you're a sinner. That means that sin is in this world, period, We're all victims of that. And because of that, sickness has a legal right to be there. But through Christ, he undid that, and he undid it for everybody. The sin of the entire world was nailed, you know, to the cross in Jesus. And so, you know, that's why Pray Medic can go out on the street, and he doesn't have to get people born again to pray for them to get healed. He can pray for anybody, just like Jesus did. Anybody that came to him got healed. Anyone and everyone who came got healed. No taking of inventory. No one had to qualify. Your sins are forgiven. You have a legal right to be healed now. And so I just want to put that out there because I know that it can be harder sometimes for Christians to receive than for non-Christians because they feel like they've got to be perfect or sinless or somehow just like doing it just right in order for God to go, okay, you're good, I'm going to heal you. And that's not how it goes. Jesus bore your sin. He also bore your pain and your sickness. And you have a legal right to this. You can have this. You can take it. And so I'm going to stop there and say, hey, thank you, Praying Medic, for coming and being with us again. And take over.
Are you sure you want me to take over?
I do.
Well, thank you for having me back on the show again. I've been looking forward to this all week. As you know, you and I both know,
okay.
I could talk about healing for hours and hours and hours and hours.
Absolutely.
It's my favorite subject to talk about.
Me too.
And I'm a little disappointed to find out that you're not stalking me on Facebook. I kind of thought that was what was going on. All right, I'm just messing with you. You're after my bacon, aren't you? That's what you really want.
Did you know
that
I think it's Dairy Queen or somebody has bacon ice cream?
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Bacon has really become a crazy social media phenomenon.
I've seen that.
And I'm just riding the wave, baby. Well, so thanks for inviting me back on the show. It's awesome. And I have a lot of things that are on my heart that I want to talk about. The first of which, before I forget, since this show is, you know, Divine Healing Made Simple, I want to let everyone know that if you have not purchased my book, Divine Healing Made Simple, you can get it right now on Kindle for 99 cents. It will be on sale today and Saturday. If you're listening on the archived program, it may not be still available, but if you're listening live, you can pick up a copy. If you already have a copy and you have friends who are looking for it, maybe somebody who would benefit from the book, let them know about it. They can pick it up on the cheap. And so I just wanted to make
that
announcement.
People should also know you don't have to have a Kindle to read e-books. You can go to Amazon. Actually, the easiest way to find it is go to Google and just Google free Amazon Kindle Reader. And you can download Kindle Reader to your computer for free and read any e-book, any Kindle book, you know. So you don't actually have to buy a Kindle to read a Kindle e-book.
Right. I don't even have a Kindle. I read Kindle books on my computer. I read them off the Kindle cloud, so... Yeah, that's a lot of people ask, you know, well, I don't have a Kindle. I'd like to get this ebook. Well, you don't need one. So.
That's right.
And it's interesting because my wife and I have been reading a lot of books lately. And, you know, you were talking about in the beginning of the show being honest and being truthful and knowing the truth. And during this program, I'm going to be brutally honest about some stuff with you the audience. And one of our people who's going to call in for healing prayer, my brutal honesty is going to involve something that he asked me to do. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But a couple of things I wanted to talk about. My wife and I are reading a book right now that we just downloaded it's written by Charles Kraft, and it's, I think it's 2 Hours to Freedom. And it's a book on healing and deliverance. Inner healing and deliverance, or what he calls deep level healing. I'm having studied healing and learned about it for a few years and practiced it. I have some friends. Steve Harmon is one of them. Matt Evans is another one. There are some other people out there who are pursuing a deeper level of spiritual and soul healing that most people are not going after. And their pursuit of this level of healing comes from the fact that we all know people who have been prayed over hundreds and hundreds of times and they still haven't had their healing manifest. We're trying to have the Holy Spirit teach us, because figuring it out on our own isn't going to help, but the Holy Spirit has been teaching these people some keys to getting people the inner healing and emotional healing that they need. And I'm really excited about what these guys are learning. Because of my job, I'm not able to practice this stuff as much as some of the other people are. But I'm keeping track of what they're doing. I had a 2.5-hour phone conversation with Steve Harmon last week, and he brought me up to speed on what he was learning and doing. The stuff he is learning is insane. It is so radical.
In a good way.
It's insane in a good way. It is so off the charts, revolutionary and radical. I've never heard anyone talk about the kind of stuff that he's doing, except for a few people in this that are pursuing this kind of stuff. Now, interestingly enough, Charles Kraft, in his book, 2 Hours to Freedom, he discusses these concepts, but he does it in a very in a very simplistic way, and not simplistic in a bad way, but in a way that the average person can understand what he's talking about. So he talks about, if you're familiar with people who have dissociative identity disorder, or what used to be called multiple personality disorder, they have soul fragments, and or sometimes they used to be called alters. Some people call them children. But they are essentially personas or fragments of the soul that have been developed over the lifetime of the person. And they manifest a lot of interesting things. One of the things that goes on with them is they tend to spend almost their entire existence being tormented by demons. And that's the world that they know. They live in, primarily experience the spiritual world. They have very little experience in the physical world. So they experience the world of the spirit, and a lot of them are kept captives in various prisons, dungeons, things like that. The funny thing is a lot of people don't even know that they have these soul children, soul fragments in them until some strange thing happens to them and they act strangely, they act out of character, some bizarre thing that they do or say that is just not like them. And that's one of the clues to identifying somebody who might have this condition is they seem to have two modes of operating in life. One is fairly normal, and the other one, it's like someone flipped a switch, and they think more strangely, they act more strangely, which is not the way they normally do, and then they go back to acting more or less normal. And I think a lot of times when that happens, you're looking at a person who's having one of these soul fragments temporarily take over control, and they're come in charge, and things start to go haywire. So I've been talking to Steve Harmon about this, and he's finding all these people who never knew they had these soul fragments, and they manifest in very strange ways. And a lot of times the manifestation of one of these fractured souls coming into control of the person's body manifests with some kind of sickness or pain. So it could be a headache. It could be back pain. It might be stomach upset, GI issues, whatever, that the person doesn't normally have. But then when the soul fragment takes over, because that soul fragment is being demonized, the manifestations from the demons that are attached to the soul fragment start to manifest in their physical body, and they don't normally manifest. They can manifest regularly, but sometimes those manifestations of sickness and whatever the spirits are won't be there until the soul fragment takes over. And then you see all this strange, you know, behavior, things that they say, attitudes, sometimes symptoms of pain. So what one of the frontiers that we're trying to explore right now is looking at people who have not had their healing manifest because they've got these wounded parts of their soul that have never been healed, never been discipled, never had their identity established, don't know their power and authority over demons. Because the interesting thing about soul fragments is they have their own unique personality. Many of them, and they're all at different ages, intellectually and spiritually, and many of them are children, and some of them are toddlers and infants. And these, even in a person who's 25, 30, 50 years old, they can have a fragmented soul child that is 3 years old and doesn't know really anything. And what we're finding out is that these soul fragments, each of them individually needs to be loved, nurtured, discipled, shown their authority, shown their power, demonstrate. Most of them think that demons are their friends because the only ones that ever interact with them are demons. And so this
is
just
scratching the surface. Yeah, if you could see me over here, if you could actually see me, I'm like shaking my head. One of the things we talk about at Fountain of Life Healing School is that we're like, you know, full-service healers because we do cover it from nutritional angles and spiritual angles through prayer. But we also talk about the soul, and a lot of people don't even distinguish between spirit and soul. They think spirit and soul are the same thing, that it's like two words for your car. You know, one is car, the other is automobile, but it's the same thing. But they're not. Soul is very your natural body personality, and you can deal with stuff in your soul that's blocking you, because that's the veil between you and heaven, you know, is the physical body and the soulish nature. And so I love this. It totally is an area where many people do need help. I did. I spent several years doing work in that area so that I could wake up and not have any what I call tail enders, which is like emotions that conflict with your faith. And so I really get this. So go ahead.
Yeah. Well, it manifests a lot in people who have been Christians for a long time, who know intellectually that God loves them, but they don't feel it.
Yes.
They don't feel his love. They don't feel his peace. They don't feel his affection for them. Most of the time when you find somebody who knows what God's love is for them, but they've never felt it, I think those individuals are probably suffering from some soul wounds. And oftentimes it comes from their childhood, where they had really horrible experiences with father figures or authority figures, and they learned at a very early age to compartmentalize the emotions and feelings, but feelings like that never die. They don't go away. They sit there and they fester. And 20 or 30 years later, when the person becomes a Christian, they still have this unresolved hatred, resentment, mistrust of father figures, authority figures. And a lot of that comes out as people not really believing that God loves them or God's on their side or God cares about them or wants to provide for them. So when you find Christians who are living that life that it's just not the abundant life, they can't receive healing, they can't receive financial provision, they have a hard time receiving anything from God. And I think a lot of times it's because they've got these soul wounds that need to be addressed and healed. And normally what happens is when those wounds get healed and addressed and the person gets their heart right and their mind right and their identity established in the right direction, those things go away. And then the cascading, overwhelming love of God starts to become a reality in their life.
They make the connection.
Experience.
Exactly.
Yeah, it does.
They're not waiting through so much mud that they can't perceive spirit. You know, they start to... You can have your senses trained to perceive, you know, good and evil, and you can increase your spiritual sensitivity, and you can increase your connection with God by doing the work in the area of the soul. So I love what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is a lot of ministries are tapping into this stream of revelation, and they develop programs like Sozo and Shabar, and I think there's one called Terraforming that's slightly different, but all of them, actually, Theophostic is another program out there that has been used successfully. It's more of a counseling approach. It takes a long time, but it gets at a lot of the lies that people believe in, you know, come into when they're children. But the thing I wanted to say is I've been reading some books on deliverance and inner healing, and it's a little difficult to find ones that address this in a way that the average person can understand. Most of these books are written by theologians and people with psychological counseling degrees, and a lot of the information is presented in a clinical approach in a way that's very difficult for the average person to wrap their mind around it. Now, I read one book by John and Mark Sanford called Inner Healing and Deliverance. It's a really good book, but you almost need a college-level education to read the book because it does go in a lot of depth into issues of counseling and general psychiatry and things like that, which most people don't have a grid for. So what I've been thinking about, and this is where I get to be brutally honest and tell you a little bit about what's going on in my mind, I've been thinking about writing a book on inner healing and deliverance based on the things that people like Steve Harmon and Matt Evans and some other friends have been learning. But I realized that I don't feel qualified to write a straightforward book on inner healing and deliverance. First of all, I don't have any credentials in counseling. I don't have a college degree. I don't have a theological degree. And most of the people who write these books, they all have degrees. Well, I'm just, you know, I'm just an ambulance driver. I'm thinking that it would be difficult. It would be difficult for my book to be taken seriously by people in the academic, you know, arena and things of that nature. So what I was thinking,
but they're not the ones who would be reading it anyway. So
no, they're not. They're
but go
not.
Ahead.
But what I have is I have an evil plan to succeed anyways.
Okay.
And that is, I've been writing these stories called the Bogren stories, which is basically a fictional story about a couple of young women who encounter demons, and one of them has, she dies and goes into heaven, and she meets Jesus and the Father and has all these crazy experiences in heaven. And I started writing the stories on Facebook and posting, and a bunch of friends really loved that approach to storytelling, and I'd never thought of myself as being a fiction writer.
What's it called again?
It's called the Bogren stories. You can find them on my timeline. I collect them. If you go on my Bogren, Bogren.
Oh, okay.
I have them collected in a couple of notes on Facebook. If you go on my Facebook page, click on my notes, you'll come into.
Okay.
You'll find two notes. Chapters 1 through 7, I think, are in the first note. Chapters 8 through 13 are in the second note. What I kind of thought I just needed to do was take a page from C.S. Lewis's style of the Screwtape Letters, and do a modernized version of that. So that's what those stories are. It is a behind-the-scenes look at the spiritual realm, the demonic realm, and it unveils the strategies and tactics of demons and how they go after people and attack them and all this other stuff. And, of course, there's angels involved, and they help the people in the story figure out what's going on. Well, I think what I'm going to do is, rather than write a straightforward approach to healing and deliverance like most people do, I'm going to take all the information that I'm getting from my friends on inner healing and deliverance, and I'm going to incorporate that information into the Bogren stories as a training manual that's written as a fictional novel.
Excellent.
And I'm finding out that there's a lot of advantage to writing spiritual truths and concepts in fiction because when you write fiction, you don't have to cite chapter and verse
yes.
for every precept that you put down. You can simply tell a story, and if the story is plausible, and if the characters are believable and the play of it is believable, you can teach people a lot of really good, deep spiritual concepts without having to go through the rigors of looking up all the scripture verses and quoting them and doing the Greek interpretation, everything else.
It goes right into the heart.
Do it that way.
It's very
well,
right
it does,
brain
because,
and penetrates
well,
the heart.
Jesus,
it's good.
Right. Why did Jesus tell parables? Because parables require a person to have the right heart to understand them. And parables go into your mind and your soul, and you start to think and meditate on them, and the Holy Spirit reveals the truth in the parables.
That's good.
That's the cool thing about parabolic writing is it forces people to meditate and think on it, and you can illustrate really sublime, beautiful truths in parabolic stories. So what I think I'm going to do is, rather than write a straightforward book on healing deliverance, I'm going to write a fictional novel that will appeal to a wide audience. And woven into the story will be the principles of inner healing and deliverance that people can actually apply in their practice, in their ministry. so that's one of the things that I want to do because quite frankly, I'll tell you, the stuff that these guys are doing, I told you it was crazy, it's insane. Like, here's an example. So one of my friend Matt, he'll be walking down the street and he'll see a person in front of him who has a metal band around their head. And he'll walk up to them and do a prophetic act. And he'll act as if he has a bolt cutters in his hand. And he'll make a prophetic act like he's cutting this metal band off of their head. And when he does that, the person will turn around and go, wow, what was that? Did you touch me? Wow, all of a sudden my headache is gone.
I love that.
What he's found is, what a lot of these guys are finding is that when you see devices in the spiritual realm, those are real things, real concepts.
They're real
they're not
things,
necessarily,
exactly.
They're, it's
That's
difficult
exactly right.
for the natural mind to understand this. But when you see something, an object in the spiritual world, it represents something real in the spiritual world. And if you make a prophetic act that removes it, the device, or whatever it is that you're doing, the effect in the spiritual world is real. Even though your natural mind says this is an imaginary thing and I'm doing imaginary motion to cut this metal band, the effect in the spiritual world is real. So here's
because your spirit.
right. So... This
your spirit
is,
and you have authority.
That, so. Right. So Steve Harmon told me the story of a person that he is ministering to who has several different soul fragments. One of them is a serial killer who's like 56 or 57 years old. And this soul fragment came about when the person was a child. And he started fantasizing about being a serial killer with one of his friends. So,
I wonder who inspired that.
yeah, not even going to go there. But what happened was Steve has been ministering to this person, and when he ministers to them, he has Jesus come into the interaction and says, okay, Jesus, what are we going to do today? And that's one of the big keys to inner healing and dealing with soul fragments is you need to bring Jesus in and have Jesus talk to them and disciple them, and you have to be able to see in the spirit and understand what's going on. So one time he was talking to this soul fragment, and he said, okay, Jesus, what do you want me to do? Because Jesus said, you need to teach him the truth, and you need to disciple him and help him understand the realities of the kingdom. So Steve said, how do I do that? And Jesus said, well, give him a book to read. So Steve was like, well, how do I do that? And he says, well, just in your imagination, create a book and hand it to him. So he thought, oh, okay, cool. So he just, in his mind, he imagined a book and he handed it to this person. And the person went and started reading the book. Well, days later, Steve comes back, and he is discipling the same soul fragment again. And he says, okay, so did you read the book I gave you? And he says, yeah, I did. It was amazing. There's all this information in there about God. And I saw these, like, words popping up out of the book. And they were just beautiful. They were all colorful and stuff. So the thing is this. He made a prophetic act of giving this guy a book to read. And in the spiritual world, that book was real, and he read it, and it discipled him and trained him about God.
That's amazing.
Now, that's how outside the box this inner healing stuff can be. Being honest, I think we have a long ways to go to discovering the keys to getting people healed and discipled. And one of the things we need to do is we need to learn how to interact more in the realm of the spirit and learn how to engage people that we don't have a grid for, inviting Jesus into the ministry encounter. One of the things that Steve has had a lot of success with, he said, you know, there's two things that people really need. One of them is they need to know their authority. And the soul fragments have a very poor understanding of their identity, and they don't understand God. Many of them are afraid of God, afraid of Jesus. They're afraid of any human beings. And they think that demons are their friends. So what Steve will do is he has to train that person to realize that a demon is not their friend. A demon is their enemy. So he starts to train them in their authority over demons. He'll say, look, I want you to point your finger at that demon over there and tell it to leave in Jesus' name. And they'll do that, and the demon will vanish. This poof of smoke, and it's gone. And they'll be freaked out, like, wow, I made that thing leave. And Steve will say, right, you can make demons leave because you have authority over them through the power of Jesus that is given you. So one of the things he said that was really critical is teaching them their authority over the demonic and teaching them who demons are. The other thing is love. He said, you know, nothing grows up these children faster than love. You can do a lot of things with them. You can teach them and train them a lot. But he says, sometimes I'll spend like an hour just cuddling and holding somebody and releasing joy and love and peace into them because it grows them up. It matures them. It establishes them greater than anything else you can do.
Well, I'm really glad you said that because, you know, for some people, it needs to just be that simple. You know, you don't necessarily have to have a special gift to see in the spirit. And, you know, sometimes it's just loving people. I love the story of the psychologist who was head of an institution. He came in new as the head of an institution in Hawaii. And instead of visiting the patients in the hospital, he would take their files every day, and for a half hour, he would spend a half hour with their file every day, and he would just speak to the person's name, speak to them, and just say, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, you know? And one by one, every inmate in that hospital regained their normal, you know, sanity and was released, and the place got shut down. There were no clients. I mean, there's just, love is all it takes, you know. Someone who understands love and can minister love to people really is what it takes. And but there's going to be people that come at this from all kinds of angles. I was just reading in the Word today about at one point when they were rebuilding the temple and they laid the foundation and they had sort of a ministry meeting that day. They laid the foundation of the temple, and half the people there were just weeping their hearts out because of the gladness of this. And at the other time, the other half the people were shouting for joy, and they said they couldn't tell the difference between those who were shouting for joy and those who were weeping. And I thought, that's how it is in the body. You know, some people are coming in, you know, God is the Holy Spirit is vindicated by all her children, everybody's going to come at this differently, but it is the thing. People need to be healed in the area of the soul, and there's going to be people who do it from a really supernatural angle and others that do it from a natural angle, but this is definitely a movement that we're in to help people connect with God and what Jesus paid for. I mean, he paid for us to be free, and people are still walking around in bondage. And God's all about freedom. He sent Jesus to set the captives free, and Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And so we should all be about getting the captives free, and this is a huge, huge thing. People need to have their soul line up with their spirit, because when those two puppies line up, you get a free flow in the spirit, and you start to prosper in every area of your life. And
it's true.
You prosper as your soul prospers.
Yeah, you do. And I never realized that. That's a concept that just kept bouncing off my brain, and I never really understood it. You know, that's one of the scripture verses I never even put in my book, even though that's in a lot of healing books. I left that one out because I didn't really have a good revelation on what that means. And right now I'm just starting to learn what it means that you prosper as your soul prospers. That as your soul grows in love and
it
matures and as it's healed, your body and your spirit, as they all line up and as they're all prospering and experiencing healing and experiencing the goodness of God, everything starts to grow and you bear the fruit of the spirit more abundantly. It's pretty amazing, really.
It is. It's very interesting. One example I love in this area of dissociative identity disorder is people who, in one of their personalities, are like this one guy, completely allergic to citrus, you know, just horrible rashing, terrible allergic response to citrus. But then in his other personality, he's perfectly fine. So it's the same body.
Yeah, isn't that ridiculous?
Same body,
yeah,
but two different
body.
Souls, really.
But,
and so what I've used
soul.
That as an, I've used that as an example to explain to people that your goal should be to get to that personality that's not allergic to anything, and you can have that not because you're messed up and dissociated, but you know you're either operating in the mind of Christ, which has no allergies, or you're operating in the mind of your flesh, which is vulnerable to everything. And we can renew our mind. We can heal our soul. We can get to that place where our soul is not a major interference in us connecting with the Lord.
Yeah. Well, and so let's go, if it's okay, I'd like to dissect that particular situation with the person who's got allergies to citrus. One soul does and one soul doesn't, or soul fragment or altar or whatever you call it. One personality.
Yeah.
So
one part of them.
Here's the thing. A lot of people are starting to realize that these situations and the soul fragments are not demons. Once you realize they're not demons, they're actually a part of the person.
They can be influenced
part
by
of the
demons.
Battle. Right.
Yeah.
But they're influenced by demons because each individual persona, if you will, has its own issues. They have their own weaknesses and strengths. They have their own sin issues. They have their own strongholds that the demons will take advantage of. So it's almost like dealing with two individual people. And even though one of them may not have any demonic strongholds, the other one can have tons of them. So if one of the personalities has a whole bunch of open doors through sin, through anger, through bitterness, through rejection, through all those different things, demons can just have a field day with that person. And I believe that allergies and asthma and a lot of the conditions like that are all caused by, they're all demonic in origin. When you have a demon that attaches to you, the demon brings along its own little, you know, pain or allergy or asthma or whatever, you know, irritable bowel syndrome, whatever it is.
Right.
So this the spirits, the demons, are attached to the soul, And the illness or condition is present only when that soul fragment is in control. When the soul fragment is in control, that is not afflicted with all that stuff, the person feels fine. But then, bam,
right.
take over, you get this manifestation of allergies and asthma and migraines and everything else. And so the thing we have to get at is we have to get to the soul fragments. We have to get them free. We have to get them healed of the bitterness and the anger and the rejection and all the other stuff. We have to get that stuff addressed and fixed, close up the doors to the enemy so that the demons have no place of attachment. And that's how the symptoms eventually will go away. And then the second part of
instantly.
That is, yeah, well, if you get the soul fragments healed, they can then safely be integrated into the core, because the soul fragments, they're really, their main job is to protect the core personality. They're all about protecting the core, and they're developed because the reason why they develop is to take the injury and the insult and the trauma away and compartmentalize it so that it doesn't kill the core of the person. Essentially, I mean, like this guy who was a serial killer, that he had an altar or a soul fragment that was a serial killer. This was actually an intentional act that God did. He separated this fragment off of this core personality because he didn't want that person growing up to be a serial killer. So it became a soul fragment. And the person grew up a fairly, you know, normal life, average life, other than one of the soul fragments, you know, was a serial killer. So Steve is working on that person to get that serial killer personality converted, free of demons, right with God, and then they can safely be integrated into the core. And the goal is to integrate all of the soul fragments into one whole being that is healed and set free, walking in, you know, the blessings of God. But it seems like the individual personalities need to be discipled and healed first before they're integrated, and that's kind of a big deal. But it's an interesting subject.
And it is, and you know, you're giving extreme examples. I've given extreme examples, but the truth is, we all have soul fragments. You know, we all have places where
we're wounded. Yeah.
We're all wounded, and you can still get healed, and you can get healed quickly, you know. And there are people that have had some extreme stuff, and it can be more difficult, but they still can come, and they still can get free in these areas, and they still can make the connection. And some people...
Yeah.
The more extreme their situation has been, the easier they receive for some reason. You know, it's like, again, there are these people who have no pretense in their heart at all of that they're going to impress God in any way. And so they really just throw themselves on the mercy of the court, and they believe in God enough to believe that God can help them, and he does, you know.
Yeah.
So for some people, it's actually easier for them.
Yeah. It's it is strange, isn't it, that some people who are really, really been severely abused, neglected, I don't know if it's when you hit the bottom, you got nothing to lose, so you might as well just, you know, let God do what he wants to do, and he can do anything he wants. Some people are very resistant to the process, and I haven't done a lot of this myself, but the people that I've talked to who have done it, the frustration is if you get someone who is reluctant or doesn't want to go through the process or is playing games, particularly with satanic ritual abuse, it can be really difficult because a lot of those people have been so brainwashed into victim mentality, and their sense of right and wrong is so twisted, and their willingness to cooperate is so weak. It's just very difficult with a lot of those people to get them to even participate in the process, unfortunately. But if they are willing to participate, they can absolutely be healed.
Absolutely.
So,
You know, and there's no shame in it. There's no shame in it. I think about Kenneth Copeland. I mean, a lot of people have not heard this story, but he was demonized. You know, he on rare occasions has talked about the fact that when he was younger, he was just totally demonized. I mean, he never slept. He was just in torment all the time. He was a tormentor himself. And someone prayed with him, and he got delivered from those things. And now he's gone on and had an amazing ministry. And, you know, there's no shame in having been in a bad place. You know, your bad place becomes your testimony and becomes your place of ministry and helping others. And so, you know.
Yeah.
It's all good.
I think I need to go through inner healing myself. The more I talk to people who do this and hear about the successes they're having, hear about the situations they run into, the more I'm starting to think I need to go through some inner healing and counseling myself. I've never been through it. If I find someone, maybe if I drive over to LA and I'm going to go with Steve, he can take me through some of the stuff so that I can get my own junk cleaned up from my childhood. But there is, you know, one of the things we all have to get over is the idea that there's a stigma attached to, you know, you've got, you know, this or you've got that, that makes you less, you know, less whatever. I don't know. There's just this negative connotation to people who have these problems. And I think we need to back away from things and get a bigger perspective and realize that we're all in the same boat. We've all been abused. We've all been neglected. We've all been disappointed. We've all had strange views of God, and we've all let the enemy into our bodies at different times. And we're all in a process of being healed. We're all in a process of being transformed. No one's where they want to be, but none of us are where we used to be. And we're all in the process. And I think we need to give each other a lot of grace for the healing process.
Absolutely. And Jesus healed all who came to him, and none of them were perfect. Not one single person came to him was perfect. They were not sinless, but they were forgiven, and they received. And that's really as complicated as it is. It's like your sins are forgiven, you have a right to be healed. So then what's the problem? If God is not withholding, what's the problem? Well, it's this. It's it's the woundedness, you know, in the person needing to be healed, and the, you know, none of us have evolved to walking as fully in this as Christ has, you know, so the person who's praying for you, you know, they have more anointing or less anointing, you know, I mean, Paul was so crazy anointing that people just walked past him and got healed, you know, or they carried cloths from his body and got healed, and so, you know, I think we're just coming into this. We just got our toes in the edge of the water. But I believe, you know, and I've heard other people say this, that we are coming into the time when everybody's going to be healed. You know, there is going to be so many healers on the streets and people healed that it's just going to be ordinary. You know, there was a time when becoming born again was hard work. You know, people would have to tarry at the altar and just wait and wait and wait, you know, and really know that they had repented and really make that connection in order to get born again. And it was just this whole amazing concept that came through Luther that you could be saved by grace. But now when we tell somebody that they can receive Christ right now and they can pray and receive him, we don't expect them to go through weeks or months of any kind of a rigmarole to get to the place where, okay, you've been accepted now. And I think healing's going to be like that. I think healing's just going to be, okay, Jesus wants you healed, let's pray, bam, it's done. And I know you've already seen some of that, so maybe we should talk about some of what you've seen on the street when you prayed for people.
Yeah, well, I've seen some really amazing stuff. I actually posted a snippet from one of the stories. It is going to be in my next book I'm going to publish, which tentatively has the title My Top 100 Craziest Adventures with God. And that book is just going to be a bunch of testimonies of amazing things that I've seen God do. Miracles where cars have been miraculously healed and electronic devices and mostly healing and stuff. But so the story I posted this morning was pretty interesting. I was doing a transport from one ICU to another ICU between hospitals. We transported a guy who was pretty healthy guy, went in for chest pain. And they kept him in the hospital for a few days, and they did some testing, and they couldn't really figure out what was going on. So they finally ended up taking him to the...
I think we just lost him. All right, well, I think he'll probably realize here in a second that he got dropped, and I'll watch for his number for him to call back in. And in the meantime, I'm going to say, for those of you who feel that you have a need in the area of emotional healing, it doesn't have to be overcomplicated. You know, there's been times when I went to the Lord and I was having insanity in my own emotions of, like, being mad at God. And I just simply prayed and said, God, you know, now hold on just a second here because I think I see him. I see his number. Are you there again?
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
I think we just got dropped. So I'm just going to finish my story real quick while we waited for you to come. So I just went to God, you know, feeling angry at God and going, I know this is the height of insanity. You're perfect, but I feel mad at you. And for 2 days, I have tried to not feel mad at you. You know, this was very early in my walk. This hasn't happened in a long time. But I just said, you got to get this off me, and, you know, because I can't. And instantly, he removed it. And I've had that happen with depression, you know. You know, I just was talking to them while we were waiting for you to come back on about that soul healing, you know, those things. Sometimes you can just go to God and say, God, I don't want this in me anymore. I want it gone. And just pray, and he'll just remove it. So it doesn't have to be super complicated. It can be simple.
No, it doesn't.
So go back to your story about the guy.
So, yeah, they found out that this guy had a 99% occlusion of the circumflex artery. And it was right at a place where the artery splits, and it makes it very difficult to put a stent in there. So they decided to do bypass surgery. He also had two other vessels that were partially occluded. So we ended up picking him up, transporting him to another hospital where they're going to do bypass surgery. So at the time of the transport, he was on a nitroglycerin drip, and his chest pain was pretty well controlled. But I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, look, this guy's going to be open to prayer, so just go after him and let's get him healed. So I asked him if I could pray with him. He said yes. I want it, with a lot of people that I pray with, I tell them some stories to encourage them to build hope, to build a little faith, both in themselves and in myself, to get a dynamic going that allows the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do. And I think it also... encourages people, it discourages demons when they start listening to me testify about all this cool
stuff.
Oh, you're not going to do this again. Oh, man, we might as well just leave right now.
I never thought about that, but that's so true.
Yeah, it's counterterrorism. I mean,
I love that.
You know, I'm on a propaganda campaign. I want
that's
all the demons
right.
to know, look, you've been served notice. You're getting evicted. I'm going to tell some stories that you can either leave now or you're going to leave in 10 minutes. When I'm done running my mouth, you're going to be gone. So anyways, I was telling him some stories. And he started to develop chest pain again, and he got up to about 5 out of 10. So I'd already given him a couple milligrams of morphine when we started the transport, and that took his pain down, but it was coming back. So I said, okay, here's the deal. You got morphine, or I can pray for you. Which one do you want? He goes, pray for me. I'm like, cool. So I just prayed, put my hand on his shoulder, and commanded the chest pain to leave. Got a little bit less, prayed some more, went a little bit less, prayed a third time, gone. So he was like, wow, that's so cool. I'm like, it's awesome. So we rolled him into the cath lab with no chest pain, and I don't know what they found. I was hoping that they would just, you know, get him in the angio suite to do some shoot the pictures and look at his arteries and go, wow, they're all open. How did that happen?
Right.
And not have to have the bypass surgery, because he was freaked out. I mean, he was like healthy guy, never had any health problems, and now he's all of a sudden facing triple bypass surgery, and he was scared. But one of the cool things was when I prayed over him, he immediately, his fear and anxiety left. They had given him some drugs before the transport, but he was still freaked out when I got to him. But after I prayed for him, man, the peace of Jesus just landed on him, and he was peaceful, and he was, you know, smiling and joking. And that's one of the things I notice a lot when I pray for people is I ask Jesus to bring his peace on them. And even if they don't feel like tingling or heat in the part of their body that's getting healed, they very often report feeling an overwhelming sense of peace come over them. And
that's,
I tell them,
wonderful.
Look, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and that's one of the ways he manifests his presence is you get this overwhelming sense of peace that comes over.
It's great.
Yeah, it's awesome. And that brings a lot of emotional healing.
Can we break this down just as an opportunity to instruct? You said that you prayed for him three times. So can you, like, really go into detail and explain, you know, really what you said each time and why you prayed three times?
Yeah. It's something that I think I must have picked it up from Todd White, probably. I picked up, like, 80% of the stuff I do from Todd because he's so awesome. But what I learned from Todd was, like, he'll be praying over, carpal tunnel in the wrist or something. He'll commend the carpal tunnels to be open and the tendons to be healed. And usually that will start the process of the release of the power of the Holy Spirit. So it goes into their body. They start to sense tingling or numbness, or not usually numbness, tingling or heat. And we just ask them, what do you feel? So there's a feedback loop. And when I pray for people, I just try to keep the feedback loop open. I'm doing this. I'm commanding your shoulder to be healed or your knee or whatever to be healed. What do you feel? And sometimes they say nothing. And I say, okay, cool. And sometimes they say, wow, I just feel really peaceful. And I'm like, oh, awesome. Well, Prince of Peace showed up. So Jesus, do your thing. Whether they feel anything or not, I don't get too concerned because I know from experience a lot of people feel nothing, but then 15 minutes later they're completely healed. So I don't get too stressed out if they say I don't feel anything. I just continue going. So if it's this guy with chest pain, I just put my hand on his shoulder and I just said, I command chest pain to leave in Jesus' name. I command the arteries to be open, blood vessels, normal blood flow. And I was just speaking like prophetically to his heart to open up the arteries and let the blood flow normally. It was just that simple. And I did it the first time and his pain lessened. Now, the reason he was having chest pain is because his arteries, the coronary arteries, are occluded. He's not getting adequate blood flow to his heart, which is causing the chest pain. So my command was open up the arteries, remove the blockage, let the blood flow normally.
Right.
That would make his chest pain go down. So his chest pain goes down a little more. I just commanded again, arteries open more, and did that a couple times. All the pain was gone. And that's a process that...
So you each
you
time prayed the same thing?
Yeah, if it's working, I'll continue doing the same thing. It's like splitting a log. You know, if you have a log and you have to split that sucker, you just keep hitting it in the same spot over and over and over and over again. Eventually, that log will split. If you hit enough times, you'll pop it open. And that's my principle, one of the principles that I do for healing. If I'm feeling lazy and I don't feel like asking the Holy Spirit what he wants to do, and I'm just being honest. Sometimes I pray for people and I'm like, I just want this thing healed. Carpal tunnels open up, pain get out now, you know, nerves be healed, and boom, they're healed. That way I don't have to go through the process of, all right, Lord, show me this and show me that, and let's get rid of this and that. And just sometimes I just get lazy. I'm honest. I'm like, okay, well, I have an approach that works. It works most of the time. It doesn't work all the time, but it works most of the time. And, you know, I'm a creature of habit, so sometimes I'll just fall into the habit of get this thing healed. And then if it doesn't work, then I have to go back and go, okay, Lord, what do you want to do? What's going on here? And then
right,
I'll close my
exactly.
eyes, and he'll show me something and I'm like, oh, I didn't even think about that. So there, I do have kind of a plan A and a plan B. The best plan A is ask the Holy Spirit what to do. Sometimes I resort to plan B, which is just, you know, do what you've done 80% of the time or 90% of the time that works.
All right, pick up the tools and use them, even
yeah,
if they're the wrong tools.
I'll try
it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll try a hammer, and if the hammer doesn't work, then I go, okay, Lord, hammer's not working. What else do I have in the tool belt that'll work? And he'll say, well, why don't you try a saw, since we're trying to cut a limb off here and you're using a hammer to do it. And then I'll say, okay, well, I got a saw. Let me get the saw out.
Yeah, that's good.
So that's always fun when the Holy Spirit says, yeah, that's not working, so let's try something else. It's just easier if you go to him first and ask him. And, you know, that takes a little bit of, you know, getting learning
also,
to hear him,
I think,
see vision
know,
and stuff.
I don't know if this was the right time to bring this up, but, you know, Jesus healed people and declared the kingdom, and he sent the disciples out to heal people and declare the kingdom. And so how does that enter into your healing walk? You know, I mean, do you find opportunities to declare the kingdom, you know, just to say this is, you know, healing brought to you by Jesus Christ and, you know, and you can know him?
Yeah,
I mean, how does that go with you?
That's a really good question. My answer is this. God has a slightly different calling for everybody. So Tom Fisher is an evangelist, and Tom's calling and gifting is in the area of leading people to Jesus. When Tom prays for somebody and gets them healed or set free, he is going to get a commitment to Jesus before they leave. That's all there is to it. Tom will just come after them. You want to know Jesus, don't
you?
You know,
that's
I want
awesome.
Give me your hand, and we're going to pray, and you're going to know Jesus. You know, that's his thing.
That's
he's an evangelist.
Awesome.
I'm
I love that.
I'm not. I'm a teacher. Okay,
yes.
I'm not an evangelist. So my approach is slightly different. And, you know, I love Tom. I mean, Tom and I have gone out and prayed for people together and stuff. He just has a different approach than I have, but it's all good. I mean, everybody's different. You know,
it's
so
a gifting.
My thing is that it is a gift. It's awesome. You know, he has boldness. It's just crazy to go out there and, you know, lead anybody to Jesus. And I admire that. But that's I recognize that's not my calling. My thing is I'm more of a teacher. So what I do is I will help people get healed, and then I will teach them how to keep their healing, and I'll teach them about how the Holy Spirit works, and I'll teach them about visions, and I'll teach them about dreams, and I'll teach them about, you know, different things, because whatever the Holy Spirit starts to reveal to me, that's where I start teaching. And if you sit down with me for any period of time, I will teach you into a coma if you let me. But that's my thing. And the other thing that God told me in a dream, I don't know, a couple of years ago, was I was praying for a bunch of people in a hospital. And in the dream, I was very, very aware that getting them healed was not the main thing. The main thing I was supposed to do was to introduce them to God's presence. Getting them healed was secondary. So what God has me do is he has me as I do introductions. I'm a doorman. You know, you don't know God, or maybe you don't know enough about him. You know him, but I want to show you something about God you don't know. He's going to touch you with his presence. And that's what I do when I pray. I always pray, Lord, bring your presence. And then I ask them, hey, what do you feel? And they usually say something like, I feel light. I feel like, you know, tingling all over my body. I feel peace. That's the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, making himself known to them. And so that's actually my main thing. My main thing is, you know, Jesus said, declare that the kingdom has come. Well, the kingdom comes with a king, and the king is Jesus. And so what I do is I very seldom lead people to Jesus, and, you know, as, you know, say the sinner's prayer. I introduce them to the Holy Spirit. I explain to them what's going on. I explain to them why they're feeling peaceful, why they're feeling joy, why they're feeling all this stuff, and let them know God is real. He's touching you. He's all around you. You know, he loves you. He's crazy about you. He has an awesome, and then maybe I'll give them some prophetic words about their destiny or whatever, you know, he leads. So my thing is
but
more...
But you are introducing them to Christ. You are introducing them to Christ in this.
Person.
You're not saying this is, you know, I learned this from Buddha or, you know.
No. It's all Papa, Jesus, Holy Spirit. And a lot of times,
right.
like this one gal I prayed with, she had cut her throat. And I mean, she did a serious cutting her throat job. I'd never seen someone try to kill themselves like this. She took a big scissors and opened up a huge gash in her throat that had to be stapled shut.
Goodness.
And it was ghastly just to look at it, these big metal staples closing it up. But one of the things, when I got her in the ambulance, I got to pray for her. And she did, well, she did believe in God, but she was having a really hard time. She got kicked out of her apartment, and she was in a bad way and stuff. So I'm praying over her. And she's feeling the presence come. And this time I had a very distinct impression that God wanted me to speak to her about the Father, God the Father. So I started talking to her about the Father, and it wrecked her. She was in a puddle of tears crying in the ambulance when I started to tell her about how awesome the Father is and how much he loves her and how much he's on her side and he wants her to be blessed and he wants her to be healed. I mean, she was just getting wrecked in the presence of the Father. So I try to be sensitive to see which, is it Jesus, is it the Father, is it the Holy Spirit? Who am I supposed to be introducing here? Because he'll give me different things to reveal to them depending on what their situation is. And she just needed to know more about the Father at that point.
I love that. That is just precious.
Yeah. So, where do you want to go to next?
Well, you know,
I want to
hear some stories off the street and, you know, more stories like the guy this morning, how you prayed, because I know this helps people to know how to pray for themselves, how to pray for others.
Yeah.
And I want to say this too, you know, one of the reasons that you have had a passion for this is partly come out of your job of, like, seeing people with physical needs,
absolutely.
You know, and so it prompted that in you. You know, for me, it developed out of my own need. I was sick, and I had to get well, and there was no one to help me. I was housebound. You know, there was nobody coming with the major anointing that were going to pray for me. You know, I mean, I had to get this, and I had to get it on my own.
Right.
And so that was a breakthrough for me. And, you know, if you're there, you're listening, and you're sick, you know, just know that you can aggress out. You can pursue truth in this area, and the Holy Spirit is there. And the same Holy Spirit that has taught Praying Medic, the same Holy Spirit that has taught me will teach you. And it's not because we're so darn awesome. You know, we, people who know me know that I'm just regular, you know. But I had an extreme need that pressed me through, you know. And you are listening. You have an extreme need. You can press through. You can press through and you can get knowledge and you can glean from others. And but depend on the Holy Spirit mainly. Make the Holy Spirit your tutor to teach you these things because he will.
He will lead you into all truth.
That's right.
So
and,
I have three stories I can share with you quick. I'm thinking of one of which is actually healing of my wife. She was developed back pain, I think back in September of last year. She went and got an MRI and found out she had two herniated discs. So this is just like adding injury
to
insult. She's already been struggling with neck pain, and she's got gluten intolerance, and she has all these other things. And now she has herniated discs in her back. And I'm thinking, well, it's too bad we don't know somebody who's, you know, got a really good anointing for healing, because otherwise you could get healed. I mean, that's been my ongoing joke with her, because it's like when I pray with her, it's really, really difficult to see any change in anything when I pray with her. And the backstory to all that is, I mean, I have pretty decent success with most people. But with her,
but they
it's
don't
like,
know you.
I almost gave up trying. I mean, I still try. I still pray for her. But it's like I just feel like it doesn't matter what I'm going to do, I'm not going to get her healed. So I started to believe some stupid things about this whole process. Like, I started to believe that, you know, there's some force, some law, some spiritual law that says you can't get your wife healed. It's against the law. Like, Paul's thorn in the flesh was he couldn't get his wife healed, and she divorced him, and that's why you never hear about Paul's wife in the Bible or something. I don't know.
That's right.
But,
That's funny.
But I
it is really
to,
kind of...
To, it is kind
I was
of
just
what?
Gonna say it is kind of crazy how we develop weird doctrines based on our
oh
experience.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I have propagated some really stupid doctrines in my day, and that's one of them, is the idea that you're a lot of people actually believe that if somebody has a successful healing ministry, their wife or husband has to suffer pain and affliction and torment to keep everybody in family humble, so they don't get too exalted up about what God's doing.
Please.
Yeah, no. So we were not. No. I'm just like I'm being honest. She and I were actually both believing this. Okay, we were both like, well, as long as I'm healing people, you're going to have to be sick, honey. I know it sucks to be you, but that's just the price we have to pay. So, anyways,
that's awful.
We went to the Women on the Front Lines conference and some other things, and we were hoping that she was going to get healed, but she was not getting healed. So lo and behold, last week. She goes to my website and she watches this video that I posted a couple of days earlier from this woman who had 14 years of horrible health problems, multiple surgeries. She finally bled to death on the operating table, and she goes out of her body. Her spirit goes up, is drifting up to the ceiling, and she's like, "I'm dead! Hallelujah! I'm dead! Yay!
Yeah.
I got my life anyways. I don't want to live here anymore." So she goes out of her body, and then she meets her son. And basically she realizes that if she stays in heaven, her son will never know Jesus. And if she comes back, she has a chance to lead her son to Jesus. So she came back, reluctantly, but she came back. So she ends up at the Voice of Apostles Conference, I think, because God said, "I want you to go to the Voice of Apostles Conference." So she said, "Whatever, okay, I'll go." So she goes there and she runs into a guy who confronts her about all this BS that she has been believing her entire life about healing. She's like, "Well, you don't understand all the amazing character that God has developed in me through my sickness, and you don't know about all this, you know, how God is being glorified in my illnesses." And this guy's like, "Yeah, that's all a bunch of BS. You're going to be healed. But you need to stop believing all that junk." So he rebuked her pretty sternly, and then the power of the Holy Spirit came upon her and knocked her down on the floor. Well, my wife was watching this video. She's like, "Wow, I believe a lot of that stuff too."
Oh, my goodness.
So my wife starts to get her mind renewed to the truth, and she realizes, "Wow, I have just started to believe so much junk about myself, that I can't be healed, that whatever else." So she watched that video, and then she watched another video where the hosts on the video prayed over the audience for healing. And she's sitting there listening to this video, watching it, and then she decides, "Well, I might be healed." So she stands up, and sure enough, all of her back pain is completely gone.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
The thing, I think, that brought her healing was she had been believing a bunch of lies about herself, about God, about healing, and she decided, she said, "I am not going to believe these lies about God. I'm not going to believe these lies about healing. I'm as good as healed, and I don't deserve sickness any more than anyone else does." And then once she got her mind renewed to the truth, it took away the attachment, the right for the enemy to be there, and the spirits had to leave, and the pain left, and her healing manifested. She's had no lower back pain for 2 weeks now, since she watched those videos.
That's wonderful.
And
this is what I believe
so
is real about that. When a person in a family gets a breakthrough like you have had, you have broken through to where you know that healing belongs to you. You're not going to receive it. You're not going to receive it in your body or in other people's body. When you have breakthrough and the enemy knows he can't get you anymore, he will go after your family. And if they haven't had
absolutely.
The same breakthrough, it's horrible for them. And I've seen it in my own family. I mean, I've seen some nasty attacks on my family, you know, and it's real important if you're connected with someone who's broken through that you break through, because otherwise all the fury that's directed towards them gets directed towards you because they know they can get you. And so you got to break through.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's awesome.
It's critical.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So let me share with you a marketplace ministry type story. My wife and I, we have date night. Even though we've been married for 6 years, we still go out once a week for dinner, and we have date night, and we find a romantic place to go, and just, even if it's not romantic, we just get out of the house and go talk and socialize and stuff. So on this particular night, we had gone to Chili's restaurant for dinner, and we're hanging out, talking, having a good time. And I noticed that one of the waitresses was limping as she was walking by. I noticed that stuff. She was hobbling a little bit, wobbling from side to side, and I thought, yeah, she probably needs to be healed of something. So my wife was looking at me like, are you going to do this again? Now, there was a time in my life where I would not walk into a restaurant where I couldn't see somebody with crutches, a wheelchair or something, and I would be like, honey, I'm going to go pray for them. And she would say, honey, this is date night. We're, like, supposed to be romantically, you know, engaging each other. You're supposed to be staring in my eyes, and I'm supposed to be looking at you, handsome man, and, you know, give me your time instead of all these other people. Well,
yeah.
She was right. I had become a sort of a compulsive healer, and I was wanting to just heal everybody all the time. And I realized I had to turn it off once in a while and just be a husband and not be, you know, praying medic.
Right.
So, but this night, I didn't pay any attention to the waitress until the end of the night. We had our romantic dinner and everything, and we were making out, you know, at the table and stuff. It was cool. So we get up, pay the bill, and on the way out, I ran into the waitress, and I said, okay, I've been wondering about this. I said, what's wrong with your leg or your hip? Why are you limping like that? And she told me, I'm trying to remember what the story was, if it was pain in her hip or knee from something. Anyways, whatever it was, I said, would you like to be healed? And she said, what do you got in mind? I said, I just want to pray for you. And she said, oh, okay. Well, yeah, I guess that's okay. That's cool. So we're standing there in the lobby of Chili's restaurant. There's people coming and going in and out, you know. And I said, watch this. This is going to be cool. And I looked at another waitress, and I said, hey, have you ever seen a miracle? And she said, no. And I said, well, you're going to. Come over here and watch. So she comes over, and I just put my hand on her hip or leg, and I just commanded it to be healed in Jesus' name. Spirit of pain, get out. Ligaments, nerves, tendon, muscle, bone, be healed. Now, that's my plan B. I didn't even ask the Holy Spirit what was wrong. Just plan B. Just
right,
command
right.
things to be healed, and boom. And I said, what do you feel? She goes, wow, it feels all warm and tingly. I'm like, yeah, cool. That's the power of God healing you. So she was, like, completely healed. And she's walking around, and she's like, wow, this is crazy. Like, who does that in a restaurant? And she was completely healed, and she was overjoyed. So I noticed the other woman goes, well, maybe you can pray for me sometime. And I said, what's wrong? She goes, I have bone spurs in my heel. And I said, let's get you healed right now. She said, no, it's okay. You can come back later. You know, I don't want to make a big fuss. I said, sit down. So she sits down, and I said, which foot is it? And she shows me. So I just got down, knelt down, put my hand on her heel, just commanded the bone spur to be removed. I said, what do you feel? She goes, that's crazy. I said, what do you feel? She says, well, it feels all warm, like there's like a blowtorch, it's really hot. I said, right, well, that's the power of God. He's healing you. And I said, when the heat stops, just get up and walk around. So she gets up, starts walking around, and she's looking at me like, are you for real? And she stomps her foot up and down on the floor, trying to make the pain come back, and it's completely gone. She can't make the pain come back. So they both got healed, waitresses at a restaurant. And, like, we're having revival breakout. I mean, the funny thing of that story was, when a second I laid hands on the first lady, the power of God descended in that entryway and just about took me to the floor. I mean,
yeah.
I don't go down in the power of the Holy Spirit, but
right.
He came so quickly and so fast, his presence came in there, it almost knocked me on my butt. And so I'm doing my best to stand up while I'm praying for this lady. It was pretty cool.
I love that.
So there was no choir singing first.
There was no choir singing.
The worship band sent me an email before we went out to the restaurant and said they couldn't make it. And the pastor sent me a message on Facebook saying he wasn't going to be there either. So it was just me and my wife and Jesus. And lo and behold,
okay, so you didn't lead either one of them through a prayer of repentance. You didn't lead either one of them saying, okay, now you need to confess your sins.
Nope.
Okay.
I did teach them. It was way fun. It was like awesome. They were laughing, and they're like, "This is crazy!" Like, you know, these like Jesus people come out and start, you know, healing people. I remember telling them a little bit about how to keep their healing, and that's where the teacher comes out. So I tell them, "Look, if you've seen the movie Lord of the Rings, you realize there's a kingdom of darkness and a kingdom of light. There's good people and bad people." The bad people want to keep you sick. They want to keep you injured. And the good people want you to be healed. So I'm one of the good people. And I just evicted some of the bad people. And here's the deal. It's a war. And, Satan and the demons are trying to keep you sick. So Jesus has given me authority to heal you. He can give you authority to keep yourself healed. My faith gets you healed. Your faith will keep you healed. If it ever comes back, just command it to leave in the name of Jesus, and it'll leave. So I give them a little, and that's my canned 2-minute, this is how to maintain your healing talk.
That's very good.
So one more testimony, which is one of my favorites, and that's going to be in my book, my next book, The Crazy Adventures with God book. So is this one. I'd like to actually open up the book with this one because it was just so radical. It was just like, for me, it was off the hook. So I go to a hospital. It was one of the first people I saw healed down here in Phoenix when I moved here. Went to a hospital to pick up this guy who was a guitar player. And he worked at a factory where they made sheets of plexiglass. He was moving a sheet of plexiglass on a cart, and this sheet of plexiglass is huge. It weighed like 500 pounds. It starts to tip off the cart, and instead of letting it go, he tries to catch it. And it smashes his hand flat against the floor and fillets his fingers wide open. So on his picking hand for a guitar, he's now got bloody stumps on his fingers. So they take him to the emergency room, and they just get him a local anesthetic, and they call us to ship him away to another hospital for surgery. So we show up there, and this guy's got this big, you know, bloody mitt of gauze wrapped around his hand, and he's in a lot of pain. So we get him in the ambulance, and I'm transporting him, and I just thought, okay, I'm going to get this sucker healed. I'm feeling like really, really, you know, like energetic. So he's laying there on the gurney, and I'm looking at his medical history, and I see that he takes Soma and Vicodin. And I think, oh, I bet you this dude has back pain. See, that's better than a word of knowledge. Well, not really.
Yeah.
But
not really, but
you're
yeah.
Not, If you're not good at words of knowledge, and I'm not, I mean, I suck at words of knowledge. I mean, I'm just like, I do not get words of knowledge. Todd White drives me crazy because he'll be sitting there at a conference, and he'll be like, there's 37 people in here with back pain. I want you to come forward. And there's 17 people with cancer. I want you to come forward. And there's
three
people. And I'm like, where do you get that stuff from? And he'll be like, you're so dead on with words of knowledge. Me, I'm like, there's somebody here wearing a red shirt. Because I can tell because I'm looking at you, and there's your red shirt.
Because I'm looking at you.
That's my word of knowledge. So anyways,
yeah.
I was looking at his history, and I found out he's on Soma and he's on Vicodin. And what I know from history is most people take those two drugs in combination if they have chronic, you know, low back pain kind of thing. So I said, hey, do you have any chance of, like, low back pain? And he goes, yeah, I've got a couple herniated discs in my back, and I have pain all the time. I'm like, well, would you like to be healed? Now, see, here's the deal. So I didn't get a word of knowledge, but I knew something about him from looking at his medical records. He's like, yeah. And so I said, and here's another thing. He's got smashed fingers, but he also has chronic low back pain. And I said, do you have any pain right now? And he said, yeah. I said, how bad is it? 3 out of 10. So I said, cool, well, can I get you healed? He said, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, I just want to pray for you and get you healed. He said, okay, cool. So I always try to start with the thing that is in my comfort zone. So if you run in, when I run into somebody who's got a torn rotator cuff, migraine headaches, and Crohn's disease, I'm like, I've only seen a few people heal of Crohn's disease, but I've seen a lot of people heal the torn rotator cuffs and migraines. So I'll start with one of those two first and go after it. I tend to go after the thing that I have the most confidence or faith for. I have a lot of faith for orthopedic injuries, neck pain, back pain, knee pain, stuff like that. So he's got back pain. You know, 90% of the people I pray with for back pain get healed. So I said, cool, well, let me just try something here. Now, it was in a point in my life where I was trying to learn a different way of healing. So I thought, you know what I'm going to do is I'm just going to put my hand on this guy's back and I'm going to tell him some testimonies and see what happens. Because I've been watching some Pete Cabrera videos, and Pete was doing, like, he'd pray over a spoon and hand a spoon to somebody and have them hold on to the spoon, and they get healed through the spoon. And he wouldn't do anything. He wouldn't say anything, command anything, just transfer the anointing to the spoon. So I was trying to get outside the box, and I thought, I'm just going to tell him some testimonies and see if just telling testimonies will get him healed and nothing else. So I just put my hand, like, on his side near his hip. And as I was just telling him stories of people that I'd seen getting healed. After about 5 minutes, he looks at me and goes, man, you are freaking me out. And I said, what? He goes, I think my back is healed. And I said, well, check it out. So he starts wiggling his hips around. He's like, yep, all the pain's gone. And I was like, well, that's awesome. He goes, well, how did you do that? And I said, it's Jesus. You know, I'm a Christian, and Jesus gave me, you know, authority to heal people, and Jesus just healed you. So I said, now I want to get your hand healed because I want those fingers are a mess. So let's get those. Let me just pray over those. So for the back, I put my hand there and I told some stories. It healed him. For his fingers, I started commanding the tissue in his fingers to be healed, for the bones to be healed, nerves, ligaments, tendons, everything healed. And as I did that, his pain went from like a 9 to a 7 to a 5 to a 3 to a 1 till it was gone.
Wow.
All of his pain eventually just left. And he said, wow. He goes, this is the strangest thing in the world. I said, wasn't it cool? He goes, man, I feel like I could go to sleep. And I said, well, I don't have any more questions to ask you. It was a long transport. So I said, man, just rest. Chill out, you know, just take a nap and I'll wake you up when we get there. So this guy has crushed fingers have probably been healed. I can't tell because it's wrapped up in this huge pile of gauze around his hand, and his back pain is completely gone. So I told him, I said, I believe that your finger is going to be healed. When they get you into this operating room, if they unwrap your hand and your fingers look good as new, you need to thank Jesus because he's your healer. So I just love those kind of stories. Like, God just shows up and does something totally unexpected.
It's really brilliant to work on something that you know you have success with, to build his faith, to receive. And I love the fact that he said, I feel like I could just go to sleep, because it's been my experience that sometimes when people get prayed for, they will, like, they need to lay down, they need to go to sleep, and immediately healing begins to happen while they're sleeping, and they wake up healed, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's cool. So we have about 31 minutes left. I'm thinking this would be a good time to open up and pray with some people that wanted prayer. But I'm just going to say beforehand, again, to those who are wanting prayer today, healing belongs to you. It's your absolute legal right. You know, sometimes when you've had a lot of people pray for you already and someone's going to pray for you again, you're just kind of waiting to see if maybe it happens this time. Maybe there's some special anointing on this person or something. And so you're kind of waiting and you're feeling and you're looking for a sensation And basically what you're looking for is sickness, you know. If it's still there, then I didn't get healed. And I would just encourage you to participate in this. Use your own imagination to believe with your imagination that what's being prayed over you is real, that it belongs to you, and actively participate in it, and aggressively in your own heart and mind, feel your own authority over the enemy when you're being prayed for. Embrace your own authority. Embrace your own right to be healed as you're being prayed with, as you're being spoken to. Embrace that. Don't be a passive person checking your body for symptoms. Don't do that, you know. Aggressively, actively participate. So are you ready, PM? Is there anything you wanted to say before we pray? Is there any instructions you want to give?
Let her rip, tater chip.
All right, so I'm going to... Okay, let's give them time to write that down. Okay, let her rip, tater chip. Okay, so I'm going to open up the mic for Jan, and let's get her up. Jan, are you there?
I am, thank you.
Hi, Jan. Thank you so much for calling in. Welcome.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
So I've been preparing for this all week.
That's awesome.
You've been preparing all week?
Yep, I got your book. I've read it. I've been listening to, I'm a very spiritual person, and I've had this for at least 10 years. And every morning when I wake up, I thank Jesus and say, today's my day. And so far it hasn't happened, but every day I believe it's the day.
So the thing that Jan is dealing with is MS, difficulty walking, and intolerance.
Right.
And so, PM, I'm just going to let you guys have at it here, and I'm going to just be quiet.
Hey, Jan.
Yes.
Do you know of anybody who's ever been healed of MS?
Yes. I mean, not personally, but I've seen, I'm always looking for people who have been healed and looking for ways to be healed. Yes.
Yeah.
I believe it's possible.
Yeah, it's totally possible. One of my favorite testimonies that I've ever heard, actually posted a video on my website. My website's prayingmedic.com, by the way, if anybody wants to go there, was a testimony that came out of Bethel about a woman who was healed of MS. I think she might have been healed actually in the healing rooms. They prayed over her, and she had had MS for 30 years. She'd been in a wheelchair. She went there. They prayed over her. She got healed. She pushed her wheelchair out onto the platform and gave her testimony. It was amazing. I mean, I don't know how many times people prayed for her over that period of time, probably thousands of times. But I do know of several testimonies of people that have been healed of MS. So it's absolutely possible. And I don't understand why it doesn't happen more often, but it is possible. So I'm just going to pray for you. Lord, I thank you for the fact that you have died and risen, that we might receive healing in our bodies, in our souls, and in our spirits for all the things that we need healing for, that you are the abundant one who blesses us with healing. I speak to Jan's nervous system, and I command her nerves to be healed. I command all of her connective tissue to be healed in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, bring your power and your presence upon her. I command, Jen, what level of disability do you have right now? Is it mainly in your legs? Is it your arms?
In my legs. Yeah, specifically in my right, just on my right side.
Right side? Okay.
Yeah.
I command the nervous system to be completely healed. I command the nerves to be healed. Her muscles to be healed, all atrophy to be reversed in Jesus' name. Lord, bring your power and your presence upon her. I thank you for her healing. Lord, if there are any obstructions or anything blocking her healing, I ask that they be removed. And I ask that you give her a revelation of her healing and if she has come into agreement with any agendas from the enemy or any lies, or that her mind would be renewed to the truth and that the power of the lies would be broken and that she would see herself healed, feel herself healed, and that her healing would manifest, and today would in fact be the day that she gets perfect, complete healing and that she has an awesome testimony to your goodness and love.
Amen.
All right. So, Jan, you're healed. Now stop being a sissy. Get up and start.
Thank you.
I'm just joking. Oh. So, Jan, do you have any questions about healing as long as we got you on the air?
No questions. I know it's, you have to open your mind and be ready for it. And
yeah.
Like I say, I've been praying all week for healing today. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that you're going to wake up tomorrow morning and you're going to go feel like running a marathon.
Me too. I will. Thanks.
Well, we want to hear back from you, and knowing that sometimes the results show up within a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to stay quiet while we open up the line for someone else so that we don't have a lot of background noise from you. But if you notice something that you want to share, hey, I'm feeling different in this way or that way, then please, let us know. So I'm going to open up the line now. Let's see. Let me find the number here. I just thought, okay, so we're going to open this up for Jim. Jim has anxiety and chemical and food sensitivities and colitis. So hold on one second. Let me get this open for him. Hi, Jim. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I know that voice.
Yes, you do, PM.
How you doing, Jim?
It's been a struggle, dude.
I know, man. You must be sick and tired of this junk, huh?
Yeah. I don't like hospitals.
Yeah, and I don't blame you. I don't either. I think we need to put all the hospitals out of business.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, how's your week been?
Actually, I was in the hospital Monday.
Were you?
Yeah. I guess I was dehydrated. But the weird thing is, this time when I went, I mean, I had been like 6 times last year for the colitis and the anemia and all that chunk. And this time the anxiety, PM, was like off the wall. I mean, I had to get out of there. I really did. It's weird. It's like my blood numbers are much better, but now I've been having all this super anxiety and chest pain coming with it, and it's just weird.
Yeah.
Just weird.
Well, Donna, I'm going to make a confession here before we go too much farther.
All right.
Since this is confession day, Jim has invited me to be a guest on his call-in show. He prays with a bunch of people who have all kinds of medical conditions, and a lot of them have received prayer and they haven't been healed. But this guy's a trooper. He still has people call in and receive prayer, and he's asked me to come in on his show a number of times. To be frankly honest, I haven't done it yet, and one of the reasons is I'm kind of a busy schedule. But the other thing is, I did not feel like I had anything to give these people. At the point where Jim and I were talking about this, I thought, I can pray for them. I just don't feel they're going to get healed. I don't feel like I have anything to offer them. I don't have any answers. I don't have any revelation. I just felt like I didn't have anything that I could contribute that would actually get these people healed. It was very frustrating for me to sit there thinking, okay, I can go on the show and I can pray for these people, but I didn't feel like I was going to contribute anything. So one of the things, Jim, that, if you've been listening to this show, I've been learning from people like Steve Harmon, and he's been getting some breakthrough in areas that I want to get breakthrough in. And I think a lot of the people who have these conditions and they've had all this prayer and they're not any better, I think a lot of that is probably dealing with soul issues. And so if you're willing to have me on the show sometime, the call-in thing, I think I'd like to give it a shot and see if we can get somebody healed. So,
That's fine. That's fine, PM. And thanks for just saying what you said.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wish I had. Go ahead.
I was just going to say when Jim first started speaking, I was going, "Oh man, I want to pray for this guy." So if it's okay, I'm going to pray.
Go for it. Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to say, Father, I thank you that you have grace for Jim. You have grace for him and his body. He doesn't have to do this in his own strength. You have grace for him. And I declare your grace over him in the name of Jesus. And I take authority over these things that have tormented him. I take authority over the habit of sickness. And I command the habit of sickness to leave you in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord God, that you minister to him in the area of his emotions, that he would be able to see himself, imagine himself as someone who is totally healed. So I ask, Lord God, for healing for him in this area, that you minister life to him emotionally in the soulish realm, that he would be able to get that vision and hold on to it, that his self-image would not be that of a sick person, but that he would have the self-image of someone who is whole and well and walks in victory, and that he's not a victim, that he's victorious through Christ. And every one of these things has to come off of him. Every one of them has to be uprooted and pulled out by the blood of Jesus Christ and the authority that we have in Christ. I command it to be so. I command these things to come off of you and for you to be free from them. And I declare that your sins are forgiven. You're redeemed from the curse of the law. Sickness cannot stay. And I declare life. And I say, body, be healed. You come in line with the word of God. Colon, you be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. I command the liver to function, the kidneys to function, the whole detox system. I bless your detox system in the name of Jesus, and I say be full of life, be healed, eliminate toxins well, and I just speak joy over you. I speak joy and celebration that you come up joyful and celebrating in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Donna.
Donna, I was praying also while you were praying. I just covered up the speaker on my phone.
Yeah, good. That's good.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Donna. Thank you, PM.
Hey, Jim. Thanks a lot for hanging in there and not giving up on your healing, man. So many people would have just bailed out a long time ago. I just admire your willingness to stick with it.
It's been close.
Yeah, man. You're one of my heroes. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, I'm grace of God and calling for a lot of prayer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's just briefly check in with Jan. Jan, are you there? Jan?
I am. Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to check in and see if you have anything to report yet.
No, I do feel calm, a lot of calmness, and I'm standing right now trying to see if I notice any changes, but nothing, you know, really, but I do feel calm, you know,
okay, that's
relaxed.
Good.
That's
a good sign right there.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to open up another mic. This is Tina. Let me find her phone number again here. Okay, Tina. Tina has a large breast tumor. Are you there,
Hi.
Tina?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Oh, hold on one second because I just realized I did something. Okay, are you there, PM?
I am.
Okay, good, because I cut you off for a second. So, okay. Okay, so Tina and PM.
Yes. If you don't mind, I have a little bit of revelation about this tumor. The Lord had given me a dream where I was a nurse for 20 years, and you know how it looks when you see like a cutaway of the skin, you see the dermis and the epidermis, the layers and everything. And in my dream, he showed me that, and like wedged between the layers of tissue was this little snake, this light colored, looked like almost like a baby snake. But the eyes were, he had like this golden eye with the slit, you know, like a poisonous snake does. So I prayed against it, you know, spiritually. And some years ago I did have problem with like shame and condemnation and things like that. But I, you know, I felt like I had come out from under that. But anyway, that's my story.
That's really helpful because I see that a lot when I pray for people. I see sometimes a few serpents. Sometimes I see hundreds of serpents on people or inside of people, and I just kind of pray until I see all the serpents gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's an indication from the Lord that there's some kind of a demonic thing going on that needs to be removed. So that's really mm-hmm. helpful because I suck at words of knowledge. But it's really good if you,
yeah.
if you know.
Well, I do too. It was a dream. That's
going.
The way he speaks to me.
Yeah, I tend to see things too. I mean, if I, you know, pay attention with my eyes closed, I see things. But yeah, let's just get rid of that little serpent thing and see.
Let's do it.
Healed. All right, little serpent, I command you to come out right now in the mighty name of Jesus. All spirits of sickness and deformity, spirits of infirmity, I command you to come out right now. Spirits of cancer, I command you to leave. Holy Spirit, bring your power and your healing presence upon her. Is it Jan?
Tina.
Tina, sorry.
It's okay.
Lord, I bless your work of healing in Tina's life, and I command those spirits to come out right now in Jesus' name. I command her breast to be healed. I curse that tumor by the roots, and I command it to be removed right now in Jesus' name. Donna, you want to go for it?
Go for it.
I actually feel like it's getting smaller. I have my hand on it right now. It feels like it's
really?
I mean, this thing is probably 10 centimeters, okay?
So
but
if there's any change, you keep going and you keep going and you keep going as long as it's changing. So, Lord, we thank you for the healing that you've done already, and we know you don't do anything halfway. I command that tumor to be removed right now. I command that tumor to come out, shrink up. I command that tumor to shrivel up and be removed completely. Spirit of cancer, I curse you and I command you to get out right now in Jesus' name. You have no right to be there. You have no authority. You have no power. It has been removed. Holy Spirit, bring your power and your presence and your heat. Lord, bring your healing power upon her. And I thank you for healing. You want to check it out again, Tina?
Yeah, I'm feeling it right now. It does. It feels like it's shrinking slowly or like it's going deeper or something. You know, it's like moving away from my hand.
Well, that's probably a good thing.
I'm thinking.
Lord, I thank you for the healing of Tina, and I command that tumor to be completely shriveled up and removed. Lord, that when she goes in for her next testing, they will find no tumor at all, and they'll be mystified and stunned as to what happened. But Tina is going to have an awesome testimony to your goodness. She's going to be rejoicing and dancing before you and giving you praises for your goodness. I command that tumor to shrivel up completely and be removed in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, bring more of your power, more of your healing power. I release the healing power of the kingdom upon her. All right, thank you for your goodness. I love this. This is great.
Thank you.
You know what? It's awesome.
Yeah, good. So what do you Can you, are you still feeling any changes?
I do still feel it. It feels like, I don't know how to describe this, but it is more sort of like a pancake kind of thing, and I feel like it's getting smaller, like thickness-wise, instead of like circumferentially, if that makes sense, but it
right,
does
so
feel
it's
like it's
thinner.
Getting smaller. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Donna, why don't you take over?
I just want to say thank you, God, that you're our healer and that this is happening now. And I just thank you for it. I thank you that according to your word, she's healed, you know. This is your will for her, and it's happening, and we expect it to come to completion, and we're happy about it. We celebrate it right now.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, guys.
So I expect it to be completely done. I expect to hear, you know, a report that it's completely gone, and we'll celebrate even more.
Yes.
Thank
I agree.
You so much for calling in, Tina. I just
thank you.
Thank you
for making this available, because I have been prayed for a few times, and this has been here for a while. So.
Well, it's not going to be there tomorrow.
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you to stay with us, Tina, and we're going to check with you in just a minute or two. And I'm going to turn your mic off briefly, but we'll check back with you in a minute. So we only have a few minutes left. We've got like 9 minutes. So I want to remind people that they can get your book if they want a paperback. They can get it on Amazon. If they're low on funds right now and they, you know, can only afford 99 cents, they can get it as an e-book also on Amazon. And again,
yeah.
You don't have to have a Kindle or a Nook. You can just down again. I find this really hard to find. If I go to Amazon and try and find their free Amazon reader, I can't find it. But if I just Google free Amazon Kindle reader, it'll come up as a link. And it's
yeah.
really easy to download. It's really easy to use. Very easy to operate. And how long is this going to be at 99 cents?
It will be at 99 cents until tomorrow night, Saturday night.
Okay.
What is
so
it?
If you're going to get it quick.
Yeah. The other thing that I wanted to tell people is the book itself grew out of a lot of articles that I wrote on healing and deliverance. And
yeah.
those articles are available on my website. So if you go to prayingmedic.com, and if you find any of my articles on healing, deliverance, why people lose their healing, why people aren't healed, power and authority for healing, faith for healing, those are all the chapters of the book. I have excerpts from the book posted on my website. You can read all the articles for free. You can share them with your friends. You can share the articles. You can print them out. All the stuff on the website is free. If you go to Facebook and look for my profile on Facebook, I think I've got 35 Facebook notes that I've written on healing, on different aspects of healing, with lots of comments from people like Pete Cabrera and Tom Fisher and guys like that, where they've all weighed in and left comments and suggestions and tips. All that stuff is free resources. If you can't buy the book, or if you want something you can print out and share with study groups, go to my Facebook page, look at my notes, look on my articles on the website, and all that stuff is for free.
Excellent.
Just a lot of resources out there, lots of video testimonies of people that have been healed of different things, and so I'd encourage people to do that too.
And keep contact with him so that you know about his new books when they come out. Also, I would like to say that I have a book out called Enjoy Healing Now, and it covers some of what we've talked about here today, the emotional aspects about how to get your soul lined up with your spirit so you can make that connection, because that was a major part for me. When you're sick for 18 years, you have stuff, you know? You have stuff you got to get off of you so that you can receive healing. And so I understand it. I understand if you've been sick for a long time that it's hard to receive. So I encourage you, that's only available as a Kindle book right now. In about a week or two, it'll be available as paperback. But Enjoy Healing Now by Donna Crowe. Get that. It'll help you. And so I'm going to just real quick go back to Jan and say, hey, Jan, we want you to come back on and tell us, have you noticed anything yet?
No, nothing specific, but like I say, I still feel very calm, very relaxed. There's a heat in my back, my low back.
Those are all good signs, right, Pam?
I'm very positive. Yep, I'm feeling very, very positive
absolutely.
Right now.
heat is good. Yeah.
That's awesome. So we're going to rejoice with you and believe that this is happening, that it's been activated and it's going to come to full fruition. And again, we look forward to hearing from you. We assume that you will post on Facebook, you know, and let us know, post on PM's site and let us know what goes on.
I will do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. Thanks for calling in and sharing with us.
Yeah,
and
thank
so
you.
I'm going to... I just cut her off. Sorry, Jan. I'm going to go back to Jim real quick and open up his line and see if he's noticing anything. Are you there, Jim?
Yes, I'm here. And
okay.
No, I'm not really noticing anything.
Okay. All right. All right. Thanks for calling in, Jim. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's go back to Tina. Let me see if I can find her number in this lineup here. Okay.
It's yeah.
Tina.
It's still pretty
Tina.
Much the same, but...
Okay.
I occasionally feeling some pain in it, which is sort of new and unusual, and I read a little bit of PM's book. I just got it last night, and I guess that's sort of normal when a spirit doesn't want to leave.
No, that's absolutely. Especially when you're receiving healing prayer, if you start to notice increased pain or pain changes or moves around, that's a definite indication that there's a spirit that doesn't want to leave. So you just tell that thing it needs to get out, and you need to stand firmly against that thing and don't let it back you down. I mean, I've had to battle those things for like 2 or 3 hours myself before.
That's the word I've been getting all week. Everywhere, you know, like Elijah Liz, everything that jumps out at me all over the internet is stand firm, stand firm, stand firm this week for the last 3 days.
That's probably a good word.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you resist the devil and he flees from you. And if this is a spirit, then definitely you want to just not stop until that puppy is gone.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what it is. You know, you sort of you get lazy or you know sort of tired and don't completely eradicate it, and it just I guess I've taken it as my pet, but it's got to go.
Yeah. It's really easy to get complacent and to decide you're just going to put up with it because it's too much work to try to get rid of it. But you'll be blessed if you don't let up, don't give in, don't give any room to it, and just continue to insist that that thing has to leave, and it does not have a right to be there.
I wish I had some revelation on exactly what the spirit is that I'm coming against, as I'm not sure about that, and I've been praying about it, but I really don't know.
I don't know that it matters all that much if you get revelation about what its name is. Some spirits will come out if you know their name, but some spirits won't come out even if you do know their name. You just, it's another issue of, you know, standing against them and continuing to command them to leave. I think that if you mentally put this thing on notice that it is being evicted and has the right to be there and it needs to leave, it will eventually leave.
Okay, I think I need to press in a little harder. All right, thank you so much.
I sometimes tell people it's like if you're looking out in your front yard and your little 2-year-old child or grandchild is out there, and a strange dog comes along that you have no idea whether this dog's friendly or not, what are you going to do? Are you going to, you know, just kind of watch to see what happens? Or are you going to get out there and aggressively tell this dog, go, you know? And it's really like that. You know, it's the same kind of authority. It's just this thing has to go. It doesn't have any right to stay. You're in authority. It has to go.
And like
we
some
have
days I feel really aggressive about it, and I do that all day, you know. But I guess it may take more than a day, you know. Some
it
days you feel really authoritative, you know, and then other days you don't.
Yeah, and the
we
thing
have 90
is,
seconds.
It's a battle and it's a give and take. Some days the demon takes more territory back, and other days you push the demon away a little bit more. And other days it comes back, and it's a give and take, but you have to keep pushing and pushing and pushing
until it goes
out and stays out. Yeah.
Okay, got it. Thank you, guys.
So we're down to 1 minute here. So I'm going to say, hey, thank you, everybody who's been listening. Thank you for the people who called and shared their personal life with us so that we could pray with them. Thank you, PM, for being here and sharing your heart. And I encourage you to get the book and pursue healing because it belongs to you. And don't give up and hang in there. And I encourage you to get my book. There's stuff in there that you will learn from that so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can get over stuff more quickly when you learn from someone else who got over it. So I encourage you to do that. It's a simple book. It's an easy book. It's easy to apply. Thank you, PM,
for being
here. Well,
I'm definitely
going
to pick up your book. Yeah, I'm going to pick up your book, and I'll check it out and probably recommend it to my friends.
All right. Well, thanks for being here, everybody. We pray blessings on you, and stay tuned. We've got more classes.